this evening, this morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. It's always encouraging to come together and study God's Word. As we have this opportunity to do so, it's always just a blessing and encouragement. Hope that everybody has been encouraged as we've gone throughout our worship service so far, as we continue to go throughout our services the rest of this. What I want to talk about today, of course, today is 4th of July, and so we celebrate our freedom, and I kind of want to talk on that. I know I've brought out some lessons in the past, not too long ago, along the same lines. We talked about serving in our military, talked about going further back in a lesson on if we don't stand up for our morals and what we believe in today, then how far they will go tomorrow. This one kind of goes more along with that line as we talk about how blessed we are with the freedom that we have. You know, thank Dave for his prayer this morning, and something that we sometimes say from time to time in our prayers about giving us strength to be ready to stand if our freedom is taken away, or praying for brothers and sisters in Christ in other areas in which do not have such freedom. And I know that we brought it up time and again as we go throughout our class, just recently as we go through class, and how different culture is from then to now, and from here to other places across the sea. And so I just want to talk about how blessed we are with freedom, bring out some points through the Word of God, and then take some data that I try to look up. And again, I'm not the best research kind of person, so I don't know if this is a good site that I went to say that it's accurate, but hopefully it gives us an idea. First thing I want to do, though, of course, is bring out that we need to know that the Word of God tells us that persecution will come. Plain and simple, whether it's the persecution that we face today from time to time, and it being family, friends, or people at school making fun of our children or something, and the point that they're not willing to do what everybody else does, or being at work and not giving in to what everybody else does, and people kind of teasing you, persecution will come. We need to know that. In John chapter 15, John 15, and you read along with me starting in verse 18. John 15 and verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." There, remember the word that I said to you, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." And again, it goes on that point. The world hates the Lord. The world gets caught up and following down this path of doing what it wants to do and just continuing to do evil in the sight of God. And they want to continue to do that and do that. They hate us also. And understand, the world will hate us. And we don't like to throw the word hate out. Again, I talked about hate again just recently, and focused on our attitude towards sin and how we should hate sin. And because we hate sin, the world's going to hate us. Because the world loves sin. The world loves iniquity. The world loves doing what makes them happy. And if we are following in the footsteps of Christ, then we're not ever going to be greater than he is. And again, studying the life of David, right? Studying our good example of David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he's not Christ. He fell short. He's not better than our Lord and Savior. And we are not going to be better than our Lord and Savior either. And therefore, when we look at the life as a Christian, we need to know that we are going to face persecutions. We are going to face persecutions. In Matthew chapter 5, turn along with me there. Matthew chapter 5, and looking at verse 10. Matthew 5, and starting in verse 10. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And again, in the mindset of doing things like Jesus and doing things like those who've done it in the past, if you are a follower of God, prophets were not accepted. You know, prophets weren't gladly welcomed when they came and brought the news of, guys, if you don't turn around, God is going to punish you. If you don't stop what you're doing and serving idols and caught up in the sin, then God is going to destroy this place. Now, some people welcomed that gladly. They repented of their sins. But often, they did not like to hear what the prophets had to say. They would tell the prophets not to come and prophesy, not to come and tell them what needed to be done, unless they were going to tell them that all is good. It's the same thing for us today, that when we go forth and we teach, that we are going to be persecuted. And Jesus is telling us here that we will be blessed if we're willing to go through that persecution. And again, as we could go to James and read about it and many other places, that it brings out this, blessed are those who are persecuted, or count it all joy when you suffer. It's not that as you're going through that persecution that it's fun. That as you go through being rejected by the world and going through and not being invited or being made fun of, that it makes you happy and joyful and it gives you that tingly feeling. But as we focus our hearts on heaven, our hope on the reward that comes through by remaining faithful to God, by enduring the suffering and persecution of the world, that we will receive that home in heaven. And so in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1 through 3, again, we can go through and study the book of Acts, look at many examples through it, seeing that the apostles were thrown into prison, that they were punished for their faith and teaching the word of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached Jesus and resurrection from dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." And then we know as you read further and they bring them forward, and of course they couldn't do anything because they had the man who was about 40 years old that was healed. But they went ahead and threatened him and told him not to continue to teach in the name of Christ and the resurrection. They told him to stop. And we know that that's not the last time that they get thrown in prison. We know that Paul also gets thrown into prison. We see the suffering that they continued to go through throughout the Word of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it gives us that idea and mindset of all that Paul had went through. And I'm sure he left things out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 24, it says, "For from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in deep, in journeys and often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in the perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in the perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil and sleepiness often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." And so it goes through again. We get caught up in saying, well, this is just a different time, the persecution and suffering. But all honesty, it's a different culture. It's a different area. But again, as we go back and ask, how long until we come into such persecution? Until we face it today here where we live in the United States. And if we're not careful in doing our part, again, to stand up for what we believe in and doing the right thing and voting with our morals that we've been given to through the Word of God and not just for fleshly and desires of money and other things and free college and other things that you might be looking at when you go forth and vote, that we could be allowing leaders to step up that are going to lead us to such persecution. Again, we pray about other countries, but do we realize that they truly do suffer? They truly do suffer. And I'd like to read a few things this morning that I try to find, and I got 4 different websites that I try to pull out. One of them, or a couple of them, refer to a different analysis that were the same, it seemed,
But just to bring out a few things, I got one here reading out. It says, there are countries where Christianity is illegal, and this usually means that people are not allowed to convert to Christianity or attempt to convert others to Christianity. However, there are some countries where owning a Bible or talking about Christianity among family members can get one imprisoned or killed. I mean, can you imagine? Can we sit back and truly imagine that simply trying to teach your spouse or teach your children about the Word of God, to own a Bible, that could cause you harm? Communist countries tend to be particularly harsh, not only for Christians, but for people of all religions, all communism. Consider religion to be appropriate of the masses. In North Korea, the world's most closed country, Christians are often sent to labor camps where they are often starved and worked to death. Again, the world, we got leaders that are trying to push for communism. They are pushing for it, and they have tricked many minds to believing that that's going to be a good idea. Country is so restricted that Christians' parents often do not teach Christianity to their children until the parents are sure that the children will not turn them in or their family members into the authorities. How often we go through, and I point out, and lessons that we need to teach our children, and here they are too scared to teach their children because children just blurt things out. And so when you're out and about and they may start talking about the Bible, they may be setting themselves up to go to prison, to be stoned to death, to be killed. Again, how blessed we are with the freedom we have. Iran is an Islamic country that is governed by Sharia law. Christians face harassment and persecution by some of the non-Christian neighbors. They attempt to convert someone who was not born into a Christian family to Christianity, they can go to jail. And so it's bringing out that, you know, someone who's already living in the area and they are a Christian, not necessarily that they're going to jail or anything. They are going to be persecuted by their neighbors and make fun of it, you know, again. But if they try to attempt to teach anyone else, that will end them up in jail. That could end their life. And additionally, he says, if a Muslim in Iran attempts to convert to Christianity, if you're trying to study about it and learn about Christianity, that person can face jail time or even be killed. Again, it's just the laws that go against everything. Again, it goes forth. I have a list of different countries and how bad. Most of it is usually the communist laws because it goes forth. And again, it's setting the point of idolizing that family. They don't want anyone in objection to this family for any reason, any religion that would go against it. And so they idolize the Kim family in North Korea. They don't want that taught. No faith that would go against them. They are the Almighty. They are the law. And again, the others would be the Islamic faith. That is, many of the countries that get caught up with Islamic faith and their Buddhism or Hinduism and many things in which they get caught up and not allowing anything else to be taught. And that if you try to convert, that you will die. Another one was India, religious nationalism, it brings out here. Christians have been targeted by Hindu nationalist extremists. That they can go forth, radicals believe they can attack Christians with no consequences. They simply don't have any consequences for what they do to them. And so again, it's just many things that you go through. And as I was doing this research and looking into how blessed this country is, and of course we went through the pandemic, we went through this COVID-19, continuing to deal with it. And again, as hard as these other countries are at the time before that, it listed how much more difficult it became during this virus because of the countries shutting down and countries locked down and keeping people in their homes. And to the point that it made the points that here it brings out to first, the pandemic offered new avenue for persecution, documented discrimination against Christians receiving COVID relief, you know, being able to get food. Because again, if you're shut in, you can't get out, you can't go to work, they could not receive relief. And again, it brings out that the public health lockdowns also increased the vulnerability of many believers. Christians who abandoned a majority faith, you get converted, we convert somebody. And so they abandoned the majority faith where they're at to follow Christ, know the risk of losing all support from spouses, families, tribes, and communities, as well as the local national authorities. If they lose income due to the COVID-19, they can't fall back on the commentary network for survival. They don't have family to go to. And it brings out those, a lot of these countries have arranged marriage. Still, again, we talked a lot about that as we studied the Old Testament and how different it is in the marriage and the treating of the women. And so when you talk about an arranged marriage and you might have a faith and you are arranged to marry someone that's in the opposite of faith, and then they're stuck in the home, the only relief they had before was when they were able to get out. And then you don't get to be with your brethren. You don't get to get out and be encouraged to continue to fight that good fight. Again, it's just, it goes down this list to make these things. Most converts from majority faith said confinement due to COVID-19 quarantine locked them in with the most antagonistic to their faith in Jesus. Again, we pray about it time and again, and I know I've prayed about it, but I don't believe I truly sit there and picture that these other countries truly do not allow Christianity. It says every day 13 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith. And again, I'm not saying Church of Christ, but people who have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus, whether a different religion or not. Every day 12 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. Every day 12 Christians are injured, arrested, or imprisoned, and another 5 are abducted. And a lot of this made list, it brought out how Christians were more targeted in the sex trade and going forth and the rape, and it goes on. It says China arrested and jailed and detained without charge 1,100 Christians for faith-related reasons. Just so many things in there that I sit back and we take for granted. The freedom that we have, and again, what we celebrate today as a nation. And yet, so much, again, as we look at the world that they're trying to take away from us. And we go forward through our life today and think about things that we have to have as Christians. Freedom that we need to have in order to go forth and do the commands in which He has commanded us to do so. And if we allow that to be taken away, where will we be? Again, what would we do if we don't have freedom to own the Bible? Romans 10, verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you go back up to verse 13 where it's going forth. How can one confess if he has not heard, does not believe? And how can one believe if he has not heard? And how can one hear without a preacher? And so you get caught up. How do people in other countries come to be converted? How do they come to that faith? Begins in some places it brought out in those studies that research that I try to find is that there's no open churches in some of the places. That the only churches there, they're all secret. You cannot publicly state that they are a church, and you cannot go openly in teaching and converting others. And yet we are supposed to study the Word of God. We're supposed to go forth and teach it to others, to convert, to spread the Word. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering. Again, we have the freedom to teach and to go out and spread the Word of God. But again, our nation wants to start using stuff that is called hate speech, which would control what we could say. We can look at examples. You can do some research about Canada. They have hate speech. As much as we want to say some other places are free, that we are blessed more than they are still at this time and point. As of now. Again, they get caught up, and as we can talk about transgenderism and making sure that we give them and approach them with the proper nouns and pronouns, or, you know, he and she or they, or that if they pass things such as hate speech, we can get in trouble for not doing the right thing, or to what they believe is the right thing. That if we preach what the Bible tells us on homosexuality, if we preach what the Bible tells us on abortion, we preach against such things, that we can get in trouble. Understand that our country is pushing for that. Again, and I went ahead and put marriage up there, the freedom of our marriage, the freedom to be able to choose who you desire to marry, to have a relationship such as is instructed in the Word of God, to have the leadership in the home, to have the respect in the home, to be married. And then we have the verse in Romans 7 that talks about the wife being with an unbeliever or vice versa there, and how if he's willing to stay with you, that you remain with him, to hopefully that you might be able to convert. And then we talk about other countries that if you try to convert such people, they can have you thrown in jail. The risk. How blessed we are with the freedom that we have. How we need to truly thank God for it and pray that we can keep it. Pray for our leaders. How we need to pray for our brethren in these areas who are suffering. Who every day is a fight to teach and to continue faithfully. The freedom to assemble, to come together as we are right now to worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Teaching and admonishing one another in the songs that we sing. As we look through the example of the book of Acts, go to Acts chapter 2 and see that they daily met together, daily came together from house to house. And I know that when we here in America had our lockdown and shutdown, that it was an unknown virus, unknown stuff, and dealing in what the government, and understand they also, I know there are certain leaders that would continue to push that. If it weren't for a virus. That they want to go down the path that these other nations, countries that are doing. So we must be careful. We must be ready to fight the good fight, stand for our faith, and be ready for a time that might come that we have to go through even worse persecution than we see today. Again, it's just how blessed we truly are to have this freedom. Thanking God that this is where I was born and raised. Not having to know what others go through. God has blessed us. Let us keep our brothers and sisters in Christ that do not have such blessings in mind. Pray for them. Let us continue to do what is right when we have the opportunity to vote. And think about what God wants us to do in our vote. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. Again, I wasn't trying to be political up here, not talking about any certain party or anything. But as we continue to go through and we continue to talk about certain things, sometimes we sit back and we say it. But do we truly comprehend what we're saying, what we are praying for, and acknowledging truly how blessed we are? I hope that I've helped you this morning. Don't want to leave without extending the invitation. Again, the invitation that you have to opportunity to publicly confess your faith, to make it known that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you can do that openly. And we don't have to do that in secret. We don't have to find a large enough body of water hiding it from other people. We can do that openly. We can have this building. We have a baptistry here ready for anyone who needs to obey the gospel. If you're here in need for his congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free.